1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, with the tax bill in place, still a lot of questions, and no better person than our next guest to ask those questions. It's number two of two as far as our spotlight segments on Long Island this morning. Marty Cantor, one of the lead economists right here on the island. Haven't spoken to him in a while. And we say a hearty hello to Mr. Marty Cantor. Marty, how are you, sir?
I'm just great. Good morning to you.
It is wonderful to have you here. Really appreciate a few minutes. So many questions. You were the guy. You were the guy, Marty, when I had those questions, and I think the audience will appreciate it. You know, the tax bill and everything else, you know, people are scratching their heads. They're already forming lines over at tax receivers' offices at this point in time. And you know, I don't know if we still have a firm answer as far as if those types of efforts will pay off as trying to squeeze in part two of your property tax bill before year's end. I'll ask you that first. Is that a viable effort by some here?
Well, the IRS right now, the current code, is pretty clear that there are very few prepayment deductible options for individuals. It gets kind of complicated if you're a business and you prepay, but ideally prepaid expenses for expenses not incurred are not deductible. However, if you take a look at the Suffolk County bill, it says for the period December 1st to May 28th, because it says December 1st, there is a possibility the IRS will allow it. With Nassau County issuing warrants saying that the taxes are due, that might not be deductible only because it's 2018 tax. Clearly, the IRS is dealing with the new tax law, and it has to update its regulations. And the regulations are really the rules on implementing the law. So we have to wait and see if they will allow it. Ideally, they probably won't for the 2018 expenses, but the 2017 bill might be able to squeeze by.
And that's the big question to me, Marty, in the fact that, yes, the IRS has not yet ruled on whether the 2018 local tax prepayments will actually be deductible in 2017 federal tax returns. We haven't heard a firm answer yet. Now, listen, I understand everything kind of came into play here in the last week, president signing and everything Friday, going to law pretty much yesterday. But you would think the IRS, you know, might kind of anticipate something of this nature. Let's face it. This thing has been bandied about, you know, for the last, what, month and a half? And you would think some sort of an agreement would be in place. Has that surprised you as far as the Internal Revenue Service really not coming into play with a firm answer?
Oh, you know, I just want to be fair to the IRS and the employees. No, it didn't surprise me because, you know, the IRS has limited resources, and why spend the resources on determining what if? Because remember, the 10,000 cap wasn't determined until the end, as well as the final vote on the property taxes. So it's only been a week, you know, and they have to research law and precedents. I think you'll see the answer at the beginning of you know, the beginning of January. They'll have to do it that way. But they'll do it quickly, but it's not going to be quick enough for the people who are paying the taxes. The sad part is if the IRS rules they are not deductible, all these folks have prepaid thousands and thousands of dollars and borrowed money to pay, you know, to pay it, and they're not going to get the deduction, nor will they get the interest-earning capability on those prepayments.
It's an excellent point. Talking with Marty Cantor, one of the lead economists, as we all know, here on the island. Let's be fair here. The numbers that came out as far as the average property tax bills of Marty and Nassau, about $11,200 and about $9,300 in Suffolk County. So, in essence, you know, you have a $10,000, the new federal tax code's $10,000 deduction cap on state and local income. Sales and property taxes, by the way, not covering the full amount, we know. But, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, so let's face it, in Suffolk County, we're about 9,300 average. You know, many pay a lot more. Let's be fair here. 46% of New Yorkers pay more than the 10,000 here. My concern, it's not the number itself. You want to tell me the average 9,300 plus in Suffolk? Okay. I worry about the home values as far as what that means. You know, you're looking at about 10 to 20%. You talk to the county executive, we had him on. You know, he's saying you can see as much as a 20% decrease in home value. Marty Kanter, that's my concern.
Well, you know, I don't think we'll see 20%. I know that the Long Island Board of Realtors, their first take, even though they walked it back in a later interview, but they originally said there'll be a 10% decrease. You know, I think you'll see short-term that kind of a decrease. However, I don't believe it will be permanent. Here's the thing. We are in a region, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. They're all facing the same issues, and they all have the same house values. So the competition, you know, will be impacted just like Long Island. Second, yeah, will there be some sticker shock? Because most everybody, when they buy a house, they say, okay, I'm paying rent, which is not deductible. And if I buy a house and have property taxes, then that's deductible. So there's an offset, you know, to buying a house and the mortgage. The reality is that the housing market, the economy, will find an equilibrium level, probably, you know, somewhere at 10 to 15%, and then start coming back as people realize that the real issue is the capital appreciation of your house versus renting. It'll turn the conversation rather than a property tax subsidy to, hey, if I rent rent an apartment, I'm really helping the capital appreciation of the landlord. But if I put that same money into a house, I get capital appreciation of my house. And we know that the houses on Long Island have gone up significantly since the recession, and people will start looking at that value, and then I do believe that we'll see buyers coming into the market, and we'll recapture what we might have lost in a short-term decrease in housing values.
You know, the only problem, Marty, is, and again, you know, we talk about this with a lot of folks, you know, about trying to keep young people here. You know, how are they going to buy a home? They see this type of situation developing now. They might opt to rent. They might opt to leave the island altogether. You know, this could be a turnoff, though, Marty Cannon, for some, no?
Oh, yeah. In the short term, it'll be a very big turnoff. However, I don't think it'll be an additional turnoff to what already there is. Because remember, we are losing people on Long Island, and we're losing businesses on Long Island because the high cost here. Energy and property taxes and things of that nature, and people who are willing to want to leave the island will go to a place like Austin, Texas, where there's more sizzle and more jobs, and the housing costs are much lower. So I don't think that this is, you know, this will have an impact, no doubt, but will have a really significant impact to turn Long Island into a wasteland. No, the practices that we have in taxation, both school taxes and county property taxes and the high New York State income taxes, that's what's causing the major problem. What this should really do, and I've yet to hear a public official address it, is that they have to start taking a look at how much they're spending. School districts are just a sponge, and they take money from taxpayers hand over fist. They're going to have to start changing how they tax and how they spend. And we have to start paying for what we need, not just what we want. And I think the same thing has to happen at the state. The state income taxes, we are a haven for social service and public service subsidies. And people come from all over the country to take advantage of our benefit, especially in New York City. I think that's the real issue, is that what are the public policy of the public officials going to be in terms of losing this deduction, and are they going to continue the high spending practices?
Well, you know, that's the other thing, and you bring up an excellent point. You know, I think with the school and other taxing districts, capping SALT will boost pressure now as far as lowering these property and state income taxes. You know, I just think it'll put more pressure as far as those numbers are concerned, Marty.
Oh, I hope so. You know, a lot of the school districts have really been Neanderthal in their thinking on spending. You know, you always hear, well, it's for the children, which it should be. And my children went to Long Island schools and have done very well, and we have excellent schools. But, you know, the thing is right now is you can't bleed a stone. You can't tell people we have to have raised property tax, because that's what they use. We have to raise property tax, even if it's a cap, and the school districts complain about it. How are you going to justify saying, well, we're raising taxes, and you can no longer deduct it because, you know, when you get on the other side of the coin, you know, the standard deduction has gone up and as an offset to the $10,000 cap on itemized deduction. So, you know, the new tax law brings a little nuances to how you're going to file your tax returns. And also, you know, it's going to create a public policy issue for the taxing jurisdiction.
No question. Talking with Marty Cannon. What about some of the retirees and the elderly folks out there, Marty? You know, dropping these values, you know, real estate-wise, you know, you might have the mindset that many of those individuals might have to adjust their plans, retirement plans I'm talking about. You know, some using their homes as maybe nest eggs. Maybe the real estate turns out to not be worth what they originally thought it would be. What do you think the mindset is here for some of the elderly and retirees out there?
Well, I'll tell you, that's the sad part. I remember one of my clients when we were digging out of the recession way back, you know, 10 years ago, and he lost $100,000 in his pension plan. And I said to him, don't sell, because it's going to come back. Stock markets are cyclical. And in fact, not only have they come back, they've surpassed their levels. Meanwhile, he sold in a panic because he was afraid to lose any more value. And unfortunately, he never recouped that $100,000. So, you know, I would say to seniors, if you don't have to sell and you can, you know, you can age in place, that's the thing to do, and wait for the market, the housing market, to catch up from what I think will be a short-term sticker shock.
No, no question. And, you know, the whole thing is here, I heard a comment from the comptroller last week, John Kennedy, you know, regarding this public debt refinancing where the county has saved, I think it was like almost $30 million or so in interest from using advanced refund bonds to refinance older bonds.
Yep.
I think this tax bill actually, if I'm not mistaken here, actually takes away that option, no?
I think at the tail end they allowed for those bonds. But yes, if this tax bill disallows that, it hurts the savings that you're capable of getting. I know Nassau County under NYFA, and something I worked with former Comptroller Fred Parola on is the forward advancing. Take a look at all those old bonds and refinance and get some real savings for taxpayers. If, in fact, the law comes out and says that you can't do that, you know, that takes away budget strategy moves for both counties and towns, and even school districts, for that matter, if they have borrowing.
No question. Marty Cantor, a couple of minutes left, talking about the new tax bill. And, you know, we talk about some of the negatives, but let's talk about some of the positives. And listen, let's be real here. It favors the wealthy, corporations, taxpayers. You know, you take a healthy business, Marty. You know, you had a rate here cut 35 all the way down to 21%. You know, that's a big number when it comes right down to it as far as some of these corporations.
You know, you're right. You're right. I want to see how many jobs it creates. And the thing for the corporations, for me, is the repatriation of dollars outside the country, and, you know, in Europe and South America. There's over $3.5 trillion of corporate money, cash, that the corporations have planted overseas because of our non-competitive high corporate taxes. Now, if they bring that money in, that funds the infrastructure program, and that in itself will have self-capitalization and help corporations. Look, you know, we're a capitalist society, and would I have rather seen more dollars to middle-class tax cuts? Sure. Would I have liked to have seen what Lee Zeldin had said, instead of 10,000 cap, make it 20 and have it funded by less of a generous corporate tax? You know, cut short, that makes sense. However, now we have corporate tax cuts, and let's just see if they do create all those jobs and they do pour the money back into the economy, because we'll see it. We'll see it soon. You know, I'm not saying trickle down works. You know, we've seen it doesn't work all that much. However, you know, we don't pay corporations don't pay corporate taxes. We do. Individuals do.
Right.
In our products that we buy. So let's see if corporations, instead of increasing dividends or buying back stock, let's see if they pass along those savings, you know, to consumers. You know, no doubt that a lower corporate tax will help the stock market as it is, and that will help personal investors if they're in KEO plans, IRAs, or even in the stock market. So it's a double-edged sword, and I'm willing to wait and see if that philosophy does work and the lower taxes does spur the economy even more than it was. Because remember, if we think back during the Obama years, the full term, 8 years, our economy didn't grow for more than 1%, 1.5% per year, which is not growth at all. And now it's at 3%, which is where it ought to be. So let's see if the economy picks up. Ultimately, we should see higher wages, and we should see it should trickle down to the middle class. But let's wait and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. No question. Good point regarding overseas stuff. Now, as far as families with children, some illnesses involved here. You know, I call it kind of the Marco Rubio insertion here. Remember, it was Senator Rubio who put up a bit of a fight regarding child tax credits. And, you know, who knows? You know, if his vote would have gone the other way, it could have been a problem. But in essence, Marty, for each child out there, a family will get, what, a $2,000 tax credit. That's twice the current rate. And $1,400, by the way, would be refundable, correct?
Yes, and remember those credits are age-tested. And as of now, I think it's 16 years old, over above which you don't get the credit. So it's great that what Rubio did, because that will help also, you know, especially a lot of the people who, you know, the poor and the lower middle class will be impacted. So I think that was a good thing. You know, the medical care deduction that you started to talk about, you know, that hasn't changed very much. It wasn't very generous in the current code, and it's not going to be generous for the, you know, in the new code. I think it's 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. So it's, you know, so
right.
It's, that's never been good. And in terms of the itemized deduction for mortgage interest, you know, they're limiting it, I think, to $1 million. And nobody, very few people on Long Island have million-dollar mortgages. So,
right.
You know, other than the property taxes, you know, we should, you know, it should be, other than, I mean, that's saying a lot, the tax brackets, you know, should help Long Islanders. However, the big elephant in the room is the property tax.
No question. You mentioned the 7.5% of adjusted. Now, I'm talking about medical expenses, over 7.5% of adjusted gross income can be deducted, I believe, for this year and next year, but then returns to, I believe, 10%. If I'm not mistaken, I think it then returns
to
around
10%. And very few people take that. I mean, God forbid you have to use that kind of a deduction. That means you've had some sort of catastrophic health need, you know, so I don't think that will be any kind of impediment. You know, here's another issue here. You know, the federal government doesn't allow deduction for property taxes. And what's that going to mean for the state taxes that we pay? We haven't heard the governor talk about that. You know, he's allowing prepayment. But what's he going to do regarding the property tax deduction that will no longer be allowed on the federal? And the state usually piggybacks on the taxable income of the feds. So will this be a windfall of money to New York State? Sure it will. And will the governor pass a bill and sign a bill that will say, even though the feds don't allow property tax deductions, we're going to allow it in New York State? You know, that's putting his money where his mouth is. And I'm waiting to see whether that happens.
And that's a great point. And we stated this, you know, with all the hoopla going on regarding this bill, you know, we have to look to our leaders now, the leader, as far as the state with his governor. You know, Andrew Cuomo has to come up big here, Marty. You know, we haven't heard a lot. You know, we heard him on the phone call with the, you know, the governor-elect out of New Jersey and Phil Murphy and Jerry Brown out of California. And, you know, I get it, you know, all teaming up together to say what they want. Words are words. Actions, to me, are actions. And this is where we see we have to have this governor step up. And not to get too political here, but, you know, I don't want to hear about aspirations for 2020 in the White House. Right now, New Yorkers are confused.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, the other reality is that, you know, I attended several luncheons. And all I heard from, you know, the county executives and, you know, well, it's Trump and it's the Congress and I'm against this. And great, you're against it. Now you got it. So what are you going to do, you know, to curb in your county budget and reduce your county property taxes? We haven't heard that, you know, and we have huge deficits in both counties. You know, what are the towns going to do, you know, with their surpluses? You know, now it's time. You're absolutely right. Maybe it's time for leadership from these elected officials to talk about consolidating school districts into townwide districts and save millions and millions of dollars on property taxes. You know, maybe it's time to talk about, you know, do we need these, you know, little towns and things like that. You know, let's start changing the structure of how we finance and tax ourselves. That takes real courage and real leadership, and so far we haven't heard or seen any of that.
No, you're right, 100%. You are in agreement. You know, listen, this is why we elect these officials. And it was good to see the bipartisan and everything else, you know, coming together. You know, you heard it from our congressman and Peter King and Lee Zeldin and, you know, Tom Suozzi, Kathleen Rice. Everybody's on the same page here. But you know something? As I said, you have to be reactionary. Find solutions now.
You know, the big thing is they say, okay, we got to elect Democrats, you know, to reverse this. No, the Democrats gave us, you know, the Obamacare, which failed and increased the national debt.
Exactly.
So, you know, changing parties, which might seem fashionable, doesn't change the outcome. It's, remember something, let's say the Congress goes Democrat next year, which is unlikely. Trump is still around to 2020, and guess what? His polls say he'll get reelected again. So the fact is that you can have a Congress to try to reverse the property taxes, but Trump is going to veto it. So I think we need some more solutions at the lower level of government where we are right now, and forget about the national politics and forget about all this stuff and start doing what you're right, what you were paid to do. You know, someone said to me a long time ago when I was in government, when we won, the party that we ousted, you know, they looked upon the jobs as an avocation. You know, it was a career, and the whole idea is to stay in power so you keep your job. But the reality is, like you said, the job is to lead and to do what's right for your residents. And right now, unless these leaders take the reins and say, okay, we have to make sure Long Island becomes affordable. And start reducing the structural costs like taxes, like, you know, too many school districts, that kind of stuff. We're going to be in the same mess and have the same conversation every December.
100% right. 100% right. And, I always say during election time, Marty Kaner, you know, think before you go to those polls. Are you better off now than you were 2 years ago? Talking about the legislative races that we've all
seen
here. And those, to me, are the keys.
Yeah, no, that's a very important one. If you're not better off, then change your vote.
Make a change. Absolutely. Marty, a pleasure. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And have a wonderful new year, and we'll talk to you as we unfold here.
Great. Thanks for having me, and let's all keep our fingers crossed.